preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to verse 3. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permits. We are going to be sharing with you about the seven foundational teachings of Christ that is meant to be taught to anyone who has come into the saving knowledge of the Christ at the beginning of their journey or the beginning of their faith in Christ. And I also want you to note in the passage we have read, it said, therefore, the word therefore suggests that something important has been said before now. And therefore, I want to call to your attention to something in chapter 5 of the same Hebrews. And I want to read verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and had to be uttered, seeing that ye are dull of hearing. Verse 12, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles, oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. A situation existed among these believers that they ought to have grown, they ought to have matured, they ought to have been on their way to maturity, which is perfection in Christ. But that has not happened. Rather, they were born again, but there was no growth, there was no progress. And that's why Paul says, when they ought to be teachers, they still needed to be taught, not spiritual things per se, but still not be taught the first principles of the oracles of God. Yet, that's what we are saying today. What we intend to begin to bring to us today is to teach these first principles of the oracles of God to us. We know that the problem that Paul faced among these Christians, they still exist with us today. There are many of God's people, people who are born again, who have given their life to Christ, but they do not even know what are these first principles of God. They don't know them. I have the privilege of traveling and speaking to Christians in so many places, and I'm amazed to discover that many Christians, even people in leadership, they don't know what are these first principles of God are. And without it, like Paul is saying here, let us go on to perfection. We can't go on to perfection or maturity or sonship in Christ if our foundations are not properly laid. What we ought to have been taught, we have not been taught. If we have not done well at our ABC, how can we go on to learn other things of the Lord? It's like a person who wants to go to university, but he has not been taught. He has not gone to primary school, secondary school. He suddenly finds himself in a university environment as a student. What is he going to learn? So the same thing in spiritual sense. If we are born again and we ought to move on to the mature things of God, into the things of the kingdom, and we have not been taught this, what Paul calls here, the first principle of the oracles of God. If we have not been taught, how do we move on to perfection? And then at the same time, Paul is saying here, in that chapter 6 that we have read, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of God, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Again, the second part of what Paul is saying here is this. You don't also go, if you have laid the foundation, you don't also stay on the foundation forever. After laying the foundation, you must move on to perfection. You don't lay a foundation for a house and then you don't move on to build the house. Foundation itself is not enough, even though very important, very essential, but yet it's not the house. So we have two issues here. There are people, they don't even have foundation at all, and they are attempting to build, they are attempting to follow God, they are attempting to seek maturity in the things of the Spirit. It's impossible. And then there are those who they have laid the foundation, but they are not moving on. They just remain on these foundational issues. To this, we are going to be addressing as we come to you on this program. I want you also to take note that what Paul mentioned in chapter 6 from verse 1 to 3 that we have read to you, there are about 7 things there. Usually when I ask people how many things are here, they will say 6. I said it can't be 6 because 6 is not affection. It's not God's number. It's not scriptural. And therefore we have to look carefully to find that there are 7 things here. And I want to mention these 7 things that Paul highlighted there. Therefore, living the principle of the doctrine of Christ. Therefore, you have to know that that alone, the doctrine of Christ itself, stand is the number one. The next one is repentance. And I want you to note here, the next thing that Paul calls repentance does not say repentance from sin. It says repentance from dead works. In other words, works that are not initiated or ordained by the Spirit. They are dead works. That's the second thing. And then of faith toward God. When we are born again, we are to walk in faith. We are to live a life of faith. The just shall live by faith. And then the next one is of the doctrine of baptisms. There again, we see here that baptism is just not one. It's in plural. It's a doctrine of baptism. And then we know that there are 3 essential baptism in the Bible. There's the water baptism, the Holy Spirit baptism, and there's a baptism of fire. We'll be getting to this. We're just wanting to know today these 7 principles, 7 foundational teachings of the Word of God for every believer. And then the next one there is the laying on of hands. Okay, that's also important. When we are born again, hands are laid upon us for many things, for impartation, for healing, for receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, for ordination. It's also important. And then the next one is of the resurrection of the dead, and then finally of eternal judgment. And so these are the 7 things. Let's go over them again. Of the first is the doctrine of Christ. That's number one. Number 2 is repentance from dead works. Number 3 is faith toward God. Number 4 is of the doctrine of baptisms. And number 5 is of the laying on of hands. And number 6 is of resurrection of the dead. And finally, number 7 of eternal judgment. And then in verse 3 of chapter 6, it says, and this we will do if God permit. In other words, there's a paradox here introduced by Paul. He has asked us, let us leave the elementary principle. Let us go on to perfection. And as if we're ready to go on to perfection, to obey his instruction and say, this we will do if God will permit. Why did he say that? He said that to show us that if our foundation is not well laid, God cannot take us into perfection. And this is important. There are many Christians, they are crying, they want to know God, they want God to give them this, they want God to increase them spiritually, to bring them to heights in Christ. When you pray such prayers, the first thing God will look at, you know, is to look at your foundation. Whether you have been taught what we are looking at today, the first principles of the oracles of God. Not only whether you have been taught, but whether they have become a life for you, whether it has become an impartation, a living experience for you. Because I want you to know that this thing that we have mentioned, these 7 things we have mentioned today, they are not just meant to be taught theoretically or intellectually or theologically. They are meant for us to experience them. And so the reason why we're coming is that we're trusting in the Holy Spirit, that the way it will be taught, the way it will be presented, is for us not just to know them in our heads, but to experience them in our hearts, that they may impart the life of Christ to us. We want to come to these things not just wanting to be educated in our mind, but that our spirit man may be fed with the bread of life, so that when we hear this and we live them, we will become what God has called us to be. To become sons and daughters of the living God. Not to remain the same stage and to be babes all our lives. I pray that the Lord will grant us this in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's our heart desire. Like we always said to you, Our purpose of coming on this program to you is that we may present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. Because Christ is our spiritual food, is our spiritual bread that we must feed on. The scripture minister in the power of the Holy Spirit is a means to feed on Christ. So that will not be like Jesus said to the Pharisee, you search the scripture, you think by merely intellectually searching the scripture or theologically searching the scripture, in them you think you have life. He says, no, the scripture is meant to point to me. It's meant to bring you to me. So our desire is that as we come to the scripture will bring us to him and link us with him, that we may deal with him, that we may know him and the power of his resurrection, like Paul puts it. I pray that this will be our experience. I want to also point to you something, that God will not teach us something deeper if we don't know the elementary principle. You will see this also in Isaiah 28, and I'm going to read verse 9. And it says here, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. So we see here, how will God teach us deep things of the Spirit of God, doctrines of the Spirit of God, things of Christ? Like we have seen, he said, those who have been weaned from milk, who are no more babes, who are not sucking breasts, who are drawn, who are weaned, they have grown. Unfortunately, many Christians are in this situation today. I've seen many people born again 5 years, 10 years, even more. But they are babes. They have not been drawn from milk. They have not left milk. They are still dwelling on these elementary principles. It's unfortunate. Like I said, I've been privileged to travel and to minister to Christians here and there. And you'll be amazed to discover that what we are dealing with on this program is so far removed for many Christians. They do not understand it. But I pray that this opportunity God has given to us, that the Lord will grant it to us, that we lay hold on it. So we see there in that scripture that the Lord will not teach us knowledge. He will not teach us deep things, except we are taught and we are weaned from milk. So I pray that this teaching will bring us to a place of being weaned from milk. What we are presenting is just the milk of the word. The Bible says we should desire the sincere milk of the word of God, that we may grow thereby. But then at a point we must leave milk alone and move on. Even just as in the natural, when you have a child, it starts with milk, and at a particular time, the mother will start introducing that child to solid food, because that child needs to grow and mature. The same thing in our Christian walk. So I pray that this will be your experience. I pray that you will not sit down like what we have read in Hebrews chapter 5. Those who have been taught, but they refuse to grow. They refuse to become teachers. They still need to be taught over and over again the milk of the word. So we are trusting that the Lord will bless us, and that the Lord will be gracious to us. So the first thing we want to look at again, having highlighted these 7 principles, the first one is the principle of the doctrine of Christ. What does that mean? The first thing for a Christian when you become born again is that you must know whom is your God, whom you worship. Please let me also read for you what the Lord said in John chapter 4 from verse 24. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. So Jesus is saying here to this woman that the Samaritans, they worship, but they do not know whom they worship. It's important that you know whom you worship. It's important that you know the God that you worship. How do you worship when you don't know whom you worship? So that's why the first thing that a Christian needs to know is to know Christ, to have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be taught by those who know, to those who are coming into faith in Christ Jesus, in a way and manner that will release revelation to those who have been taught. That the seed of revelation to know Christ is sown in the heart of new believers, so that this seed of revelation will grow as they grow. It is important that you know the Lord Jesus Christ by revelation. There are many today who are worshiping and they do not know whom they worship. There are many today who are still worshiping the baby Jesus. Their Jesus is still a baby Jesus. that many who are worshiping today the historical Jesus, that many today that are still worshiping Jesus that is hanging on the tree. But the good news is this: Jesus came and died and rose again and went to heaven and is now seated at the hand of the Father. He's the King of glory. He's the Savior. He's the Lord. But I went beyond that. Jesus is not just a Savior. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a miracle worker. He is God. He is God. This is a question that the Lord himself was asking the disciples when he said, "Who do men think I am?" What do they think? Well, Peter responded, some thought that you are Jeremiah, you are a prophet, you are this and that. And Jesus asked the disciple, "But I ask you, you, whom do you say I am?" And then we know that Peter gave an answer. And he says to Peter, and I'm reading again from you from Matthew chapter 16, from verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." What was Peter's answer? Peter's answer is in verse 16. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, that was the answer that Peter gave. The Lord's rest was, "A blessed art thou." You are blessed. To have a revelation of who Christ is to be blessed. And it goes on to say, "But flesh and blood, human learning, human teaching, human doctrine has not revealed this to you. It is my Father that has revealed this to you from heaven." This is a revelation that my Father alone can give to you. Please remember that the scripture said the Father will show the Son to whomsoever he wills, and the Son will show the Father to whomsoever he will. You see, it takes the decision of heaven to reveal to us this revelation. But we have a part. The part we have is that those who teach the word of God should so teach to lay foundation, to release the seed of revelation. I believe that while Peter was following the Lord Jesus Christ, over the time that he's been following the Lord, the teachings of Christ has deposited the seed of revelation in Peter, so that when Peter was asked that question, that seed sprang up. That seed of revelation in Peter came forth and was able to say to the Lord, "You are not a prophet. You are not a miracle worker. You are not just a rabbi. You are not just a master. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, the Christ means the anointed one. There are many different realms of anointing, both good and bad, both evil and righteous. There are many people, even in the realm of Satan, who call themselves anointed. But what Peter is saying, "Thou art the Christ." I want you to note the Christ and then the Son of the living God. And now I want you to see this. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, "And he said unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Please, Jesus is not saying here that he's going to build his church upon Peter. That's not what he's saying here. He said that thou art Peter. The Lord is playing on words here, and the word Peter means pebbles, small stones. And he say, "And upon this rock," there's a difference between pebbles and a rock. So upon this rock, you are Peter, pebbles, small stones. Then I'm going to build upon this rock my church. So we know that Peter there is not the rock. So what the Lord is saying, that upon this revelation of who I am, the revelation of Christ being the Son of the living God, upon this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In other words, when this revelation of who Christ is given to a man, it gives God opportunity to build something that will endure, something that will be forever, something that the gates of hell shall and will not be able to prevail against. And this is why it's important that we have this revelation of who Christ is. This is why God desired from the beginning that as people get born again, they must be taught the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, so that people who worship, they will know whom they worship. I pray that this revelation will come upon you. So I want to continue as we begin to share this, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have this revelation, God is able to build for us on the rock. And that's why he says, "What are this revelation of who I am? The gates of hell." Gates of hell means so many things. It means the powers of hell, nature of sin, the power of iniquity, agents of darkness. They cannot prevail this revelation. wherever this revelation is given, is established, and I build my church or I build my people. Please remember again here that the church here, we're not talking about buildings, we're talking about people. What Jesus is saying, for people who have this revelation in them and through them, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not be able to pray. In other words, God will have a people who will have this revelation who Christ is, and the gates of hell shall not be able to prevail over such people. Sin will not have dominion over them. Iniquity will not have dominion over them. Demons will not have dominion over them. Are you hearing me, listener? This is important that we understand this. And then you see in verse 19, it says, and I'll give unto thee keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. When we have this revelation, to whom this revelation is given, authority is also given. Key speaks of authority. And it also means that when we have this mighty revelation of who Christ is, we will not be repeating that name like parrots. We will not just be saying Jesus, Jesus. The revelation we have behind that name will grant to us authority in every situation. So that when we name that name over a situation, there's an authority that backs it because we know what we are talking about. It's important that we have this revelation. It's important that we know it. It's important that we experience it so that we can be what God has ordained for us to be. Listeners, I pray that the Lord will bless you as we're bringing this message to a close again this time and this day. Remember, what we started teaching is to teach us about the seven foundational teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ for his people, for his church, as we took it from Hebrews chapter 6. What are these seven foundational truths? Remember, doctrine of Christ, repentance from dead works, faith towards God, baptism. Are you following? I want you to write it down. I want you to have it so that you can go back to it and read it and know it. Let me start all over again so that you can take it. Number one is the doctrine of Christ, to know who Christ is. Number two is the repentance from dead works. Number three is faith toward God. Number four is the doctrine of baptism. Number five is laying on of hands. Number six is resurrection from the dead. And number seven is eternal judgment. This will be bringing to you as we move on. These are foundational issues for you to know. Today we have emphasized the need to have a revelation of whom the Lord Jesus Christ is. That's about the doctrine of Christ. I pray that the spirit of revelation will come upon you. I pray that the spirit of understanding will come upon you. I pray that what you've had today will sow the seed in your heart that will germinate, that will grow into the kingdom of God. That it will not be the same, that the covering cast of religion and darkness will give way for the light of God to penetrate into your spirit, to bring light to you. Light that will break yokes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will come into you and quicken you from where you are, to walk in the word that God has called you to be, and to be the child of God that God has called you to be. I pray that this will be your experience in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslife@yahoo.com and endlesslife@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.